I love the Cavs. We thank Chris Kaiser for coming in, but let me tell you something. Adam Silver sees what you're doing. He says he loves everything going on with the apron and how they've had six different champions in 6 years. He loves the parody. I don't believe a damn word coming out of Adam Silver's mouth, and let me tell you why, Tone, because he's coming after your Cavs. They're shooting 40% for the year from three. There's too many damn threes. Everybody's upset. He hears the bitching. He hears the moaning, and he says they're getting ready to do something, and it's going to affect your Cleveland Cavaliers.
I agree to the extent that you start to see very similar offenses around the league. I think we just got to be careful. Like, I don't want to sort of knee-jerk move the three-point line. I wish it were as simple as just moving the three-point line back, because then we would just do it. Part of the concern from the basketball folks is that if you move the three-point line back, you'll end up sort of just clogging up, you know, the sort of the area under the basket. And that's not such attractive basketball either. I think this is doable. We are on it. So as stewards of the game, you know, Joe Dumars leads our competition committee here. You know, we will tweak it. We will correct those issues.
I'm trying to correct our Cavs.
Well, there's nothing.
Audio courtesy of Colin Cowherd, FS1.
There's nothing. Who doesn't listen to Pittsburgh radio? There's nothing to correct here. There's nothing to correct here when it comes to the Cavs. Let's go through the checklist of things that people say is wrong about the NBA, right? What is right now the number one? All right, maybe
too many threes.
Maybe they're saying too many threes. We're fifth right now. The Boston Celtics, who are now 6.5 games behind
the Cavs. Are you
talking
about the amount of threes or the percent? I thought we were number one in percentage.
Well, that's what I want to get to. We are fifth in attempts. We are first like all time right now with actual percentage. So we're not just chucking. In fact, we're taking good threes and we're making them. So that's number one. Number two, load management. You notice the Cavs? They've played. They have played their guys. They have been in the lineup. I think Donovan had one rest day kind of sprinkled in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well-deserved, by the way. The Cavs are playing in their games. Their superstars are playing in their game. Number three, where are the Americans? We lament the death of the American. Last time I checked, Darius Garland, is he from America?
He's from America.
Is he from the 50 nifty United States?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is from Toronto.
Yes, Canada. Which
Tristan Thompson.
Down the road could be American.
Toronto.
But number...
We get it our way.
Hey, Evan Mobley, American. Donovan Mitchell, American. What is the problem here? Okay, that's number three.
Eric.
Number four.
Hell yeah.
All these NBA prima donnas. Last time I checked, Donovan Mitchell stayed in the mid-market. Cleveland, Ohio.
Boom.
He stayed here. Is he a prima donna? Is Evan Mobley a prima donna? Is Darius Garland a prima donna? I know Jason Lloyd wanted to throw out a report last year that he wanted out. That could have been some agency stuff. That was certainly not coming from Darius Garland.
Jason for?
Because
he was just
he deserves
on with us
it
at
with his hit pieces at the end of the year.
Out of hell with him. He wears leather suit jackets.
All right. We're never having him on again. So all these things, the myriad problems with the NBA in 2025, show me where the Cavaliers fit the description of any of those issues.
They don't.
They don't.
They don't. But
home
when I
grown.
Hear, but damn it, this team was put together through it, and it flies in the face of everything I was comfortable with. Remember, I made an argument 2-3 years ago for Kobe Altman to keep his job, and the only reason I wanted to make the argument is because I thought that they'd freak out and find somebody far worse. That's not a good argument. That's not a good argument. What were we talking about last year? This team has been put together piece by piece. They haven't been popular figures. The people picking them, obviously. They haven't been popular figures here over the last 5 years. And damn it, now they're the best team in the NBA. So we all have to eat a lot of crow here. And it makes me a little bit uncomfortable that we built this team for this level of the NBA. Now, he says that they're not going to have some sort of crazy change. I don't believe they are going to have any sort of a crazy change or anything. Like all of a sudden, they're going to take the three-point line, smooth it out to where there's no corner three or anything like that. I wonder if it's a tighter area. I wonder if they extend it high on the left and right and arc it out towards the center of the court. I wonder that.
I do look. I do agree that far too many teams. Like I watch any of these Hornets games, right? The Hornets know they have no shot to beat you. So what do? They chuck threes. They tell LaMelo Ball.
Get your shots in.
Yes, they say shoot it. Doesn't matter, and it's ridiculous. You see a lot of these games where he will have attempted 15 threes,
like people,
and he's making three of them.
And this is what I do hate. And let me give credit where credit's due. There's a reason. The reason I like Brian Windhorst a lot is because he's a writer who he covers the NBA. He promotes the NBA. It's good for his business. Last week when the Cavs beat Oklahoma City, I saw what he said on ESPN, and he was right about it. He promotes the good stuff. But yeah, you are going to have games where Charlotte is going to play the Pelicans, and they're just going to come down and shoot threes, and it's going to clang because they suck. And the other team's going to come down and shoot threes, and it's going to clang because they suck. And I've seen the clips all together. Well, that yeah, there's going to be bad. There's bad football games. There's bad NFL games. There's bad baseball games.
Bad quarterback play.
There's bad hockey games, I'm sure of. And there's certainly bad basketball games. But I'm watching the Cavs. This is good basketball. Last week was fabulous basketball. The matchup with Indiana, it's intriguing. I want to see more of it. I think that it's going to be intriguing for the general basketball fan. It's a good matchup. I can make an argument, well, no Tyrese Halliburton, there's a question. Here, I mean, I'm talking from outside on a perspective there. And then when you bring in tonight, it will suck for tonight that you're not going to have Chet Holmgren. You're not going to have a couple of players for Oklahoma City, including him. And for the Cavaliers, yeah, they're going to be healthy. They should win this basketball game, even though it's a road game, for crying out loud. But Oklahoma City is still a good basketball team. I don't know if we're going to get our credit. Still, I don't know if we actually need our credit right now because, again, you're 34-5, and Shaquille O'Neal says that this is a team that can win an NBA Finals. So I just think that right now they're built in this classic sense. Things are going fantastic for us. I know that there's a trade deadline coming up. I understand that Caris LeVert's name is being thrown around because of the cap implications, contract implications. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. It makes things a little bit awkward with George Niang joining us at 9:20, but I really don't want to mess with anybody. I said this to you yesterday. They've earned the right to exceed any expectations in the postseason. They've also earned the right to let me down in the postseason as they're currently made. If they get to the postseason and Boston just throttles them, even though Jason Tatum is saying they're going through some bleep right now, but if Boston throttles them or, God forbid, we lose to the Knicks or something like that, yeah, we're going to have to reevaluate. We're going to have to look at Jimmy Butler, I'm sure. Like, there's going to be some things, but damn it, they've earned it. And I like where it is, and I don't want to mess with it right now because I know it's an NBA problem. I understand Adam Silver can't just worry about the Cavs, but damn, I'm loving what I'm seeing.
All we do is talk about NBA problems. Has anybody mentioned that the NFL wildcard weekend was down 8% from the year before?
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, right now in the NBA, you've had six different champions in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
How is that a problem? That's a good thing. The NBA never had parity like this in my lifetime that it has right now. Plus, all the guys wanting out like 10 years ago, there's one guy, Jimmy Butler, and guess what? No one can even trade for him. So superstars are staying with their teams. I'll tell you, I'm buying stock in the NBA right now. Now, I'm not selling stock in the NFL because we know the NFL is going to be fine no matter how bad the product can be at times. Doesn't matter. People are loving the NFL. But I'm buying stock in the NBA, especially here in Cleveland.
Sounds like you're setting the tone with the Cavs. I want to get to this here. This is Lou Holtz. We heard Brady Quinn yesterday. I got a sneaking suspicion here. We heard Brady Quinn yesterday with us, and you can hear that interview, 92.3thefan.com. Brady Quinn had said that it's pretty easy to get under Ryan Day's skin. He was making a joke, and it was a funny joke when Brady Quinn had said it. Lou Holtz is taking to Twitter. Lou Holtz is going to go to the football game on Monday. Apparently his leg's not doing good or his back or something, and he's going to drag his body, quote from Lou, to this football game coming up on Monday. Lou Holtz took to Twitter, or X, however you want to call it. Says, Ohio State's a good team, but culture beats talent every time.
The best football team in the country is Ohio State. They have a great coaching staff. I think their defense coordinator is outstanding, and Chip Kelly's done a good job with the offense, and Coach Day does not get the credit he should deserve for the tremendous accomplishments he's had. However, they have the highest paid NIL. They have a great team. They're very talented on offense and defense. The list goes on and on. But I believe the University of Notre Dame will prevail in this football game. Not because we have the best football team, but I think we have the best culture. Culture will beat talent each and every time.
So you never had Tim Brown? Never had him?
It's a whole book.
You never had Jerome Bettis?
There's a whole book about
Mark Bavaro.
Some of the indiscretions with Notre Dame when Lou Holtz was the head coach. But he was a very good head coach.
Hey, easy.
We're fully admitting that.
It's a different time. Lou Holtz is a interesting figure. He's fun. Makes me laugh. Can I just tell you this? What happened in the game against Michigan, game plan wise? Didn't it seem like Ryan Day insisted on winning a certain way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think Lou Holtz is saying this knowing that it's going to get back to Ryan Day? All this stuff is going to get back to Ryan Day.
Trying to push the buttons.
Ryan Day takes things very personally. You have been, you Ohio State Athletics takes things very personally. You have been called personally by people from Ohio State Athletics over some of your commentary over Ohio State football and men's basketball here over these last years. There ain't nothing bad to say about women's basketball. They do a great job. However, you know, Lou Holtz knows this. Just maybe getting in the head. Because we're talking about toughness. You know, I told you, Notre Dame has to play this game in a phone booth coming up on Monday. They have to shorten this field, get Jeremiah Love going, make this a game where it becomes a one-possession game going into the fourth quarter, try to force some sort of a turnover, make this thing a rock fight. Almost like how Mike Tomlin wins games with the Steelers. I think that's what Notre Dame has to do. You think Lou Holtz knows that, is trying to play that into his hand with his Notre Dame Fighting Irish, even though they're no longer his and they haven't been his for a long time, but you get what I'm saying? You think that that's trying to play into the hand? Because Ryan Day, damn, he has made decisions based on ego already, and it's cost him.
Notre Dame is praying that Ohio State tries to win a football game like that, because Notre Dame knows that's the way they can win. They can win by being physical. They can win the old-fashioned way. They showed that blueprint against Penn State. And remember, that was a Penn State team that lit up the scoreboard in the Big Ten championship game against Oregon. So they were able to limit that completely in the second half last week, 2 weeks ago. It was an amazing, amazing performance by Notre Dame. They know that they can't, if it's just a scoreboard-type game, they know that they cannot hang with Ohio State. You keep hearing the term, Brady Quinn said it yesterday, phone booth game. I've never heard the term phone booth game so much, at least in terms of a game plan.
You're welcome.
That I've heard this week. Yeah, you've mentioned it. Absolutely.
Coming up at 9:20, George Niang going to join us on the show. I'm just thinking. I'm picking Ohio State to win. In fact, I guaranteed it.
Are you coming off the guarantee?
No. I said what I said, and I got to deal with what I said.
Don't you want to be given credit if Notre Dame wins that Kenny got it right? Because you'll be so happy about Ohio State losing.
No, I will not be
happy. You'll be wearing your Notre Dame stuff, and you'll be playing Rudy in the background.
No, I will not. I will not be wearing anything Notre Dame. You have a video of me cheering for Notre Dame, but I'm still not going to be. I'm going to be like Rob Lowe with the NFL hat on. I'm going to be a neutral observer. Certainly I will be. Mary Kay Cabot, she's been with us for years, and she joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, as she's wont to do on a Thursday. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
We're doing okay. Does Tommy Rees mean that Jalen Milroe's going to the Cleveland Browns?
You never know, but if he does, Tommy certainly has the inside track on how to coach him, how to coax the best out of him, how to coach him up and get him ready to roll. So I think it's very, very interesting. I think it's definitely something to look at. And I will be going to the Senior Bowl in less than 2 weeks, where Jalen Milroe will be there and Tommy will be there. And Bubba will be coaching the American team. So it's going to be very, very interesting.
Can someone show him how to do special teams while he's down?
Okay. Oh, that's a cheap shot. Come on.
Well, they're 32nd in special team. 30th. I'm sorry, 30th.
Yeah, good years, yeah,
it was supposed
years.
To be
Come
an
on.
Improvement there. It was supposed to be an improvement.
It was a new kickoff rule. What are you going to do?
It was a new kickoff rule?
Yeah. Who would know how to do that as they committed a penalty on their very first kickoff of the year?
Ask her some questions.
All right, Mary Kay. So obviously, again, the autopsy on the Deshaun Watson existence and failure here in Cleveland continues. It's now sounding more and more like the messaging coming from the Browns is almost like they're distancing themselves between them and Deshaun after this injury or the rehab from the injury. What is your latest take on all this?
Well, just going by their statement, it would seem to me that they're trying to say we're moving on. I mean, when you listen to Andrew Berry in his postseason press conference, he sounded that way about Nick Chubb, too. And the statement sounded to me like they were really preparing everyone, not that people needed to be mentally prepared for it, but you know, letting everyone know that, hey, we're moving on here. We're going in another direction. We will have a new starting quarterback in 2025. And basically that said to me that it sort of spelled the end of the ill-fated Deshaun Watson era.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So is there a chance they could void the contract?
You know, I don't think so. I'll tell you, I had so many people sending me a video of, you know, that video of Deshaun standing behind the car with Jilly, you know, half dancing, not even using his legs. I mean, that's not going to get the contract void. So in my opinion, that kind of thing is irresponsible reporting, because that got everyone really riled up to think that the Browns could recoup their $92 million because Deshaun arm danced a little bit. That's not how that's going to happen. If he was perhaps jet skiing or skydiving or hang gliding or something like that, then they might have a chance. But short of something like that, that's not what's going to happen with that money.
If we had video of him doing like the Fonzie dance, do you think then it would be enough to void the contract?
Perhaps. It would have to be a much more aggressive dance than that.
I was watching Blues Brothers. I saw him in the background. I'm telling you, Mary Kay.
Absolutely. It would have to be something a little bit more risky, maybe jumping off of a table while dancing or something. But certainly not, you know, moving his arms a little bit and whatever the case may be.
No.
That wasn't it. That wasn't going to be it.
Okay.
But they do have some recourse in terms of insurance money and whatnot, and we don't know exactly how that's all going to work out. It's very hard to pin down that information, but I'm sure they have some insurance on Deshaun that will give them some kind of relief. And they also set up the contract and restructured the contract in such a way that after this season, if they want to move on, there's a world in which they can do that. It won't be easy. It will still be painful from a cap standpoint, but they can do it.
Mary Kay, I know some people have talked about his rehab being in, well, really we have. This show has certainly talked about the fact that, yeah, he'd been in Berea a little bit here and there, but mostly everything was going down in Florida. Do you think that puts some of this at risk, or do you think the Browns fully supported that move or may have even told him to kind of get away for a little bit?
They supported the move. So that was a joint effort between what he wanted to do, what his team wanted him to do, and what the Browns approved of and signed off on. So they're not going to be able to go back at that and say, well, you know, if you weren't in Miami, maybe blah, blah, blah. That's not how that went. The year before, you saw that he rehabbed in L.A. With Neil Elitrosh and his team, his surgeon. So they were on board with him rehabbing in Miami. Now, maybe they shouldn't have been. Maybe they should have said, stay here. We want you around. We want you to support Dorian Thompson-Robinson when he has to go out and start a game. We want you to support Jameis Winston and help him, you know, not throw interceptions, whatever. If they didn't want him in Miami, they could have seen to it that he wasn't in Miami. So
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They probably just have no one to blame but themselves for that one.
Mary Kay Cabot of The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com.
Can I ask her the question?
I was hoping you would.
The guaranteed money question?
Yes, I was hoping you would.
Well, you're the one who brought it up to me, so I don't know if you wanted to ask it or you wanted me to ask it.
I did, Mary Kay. Our fans seem to be in support, at least our listeners. 75% said they would support Myles Garrett getting paid a guaranteed contract. Not just any guaranteed contract, the highest non-quarterback contract in all of football. Do you think he would have the leverage to do so?
Well, he has the leverage, I think, to get an extension and to get a raise and to have the Browns up the ante. Now, as far as a fully guaranteed contract going forward, I'm not sure that they would do that again. I don't know that it really messed everything up, I think, just in terms of perception. And that's what people keep coming back to. It ruffled the feathers of so many owners. I don't know if they would go down that road again. But I do think that they will give him some kind of raise up the ante. He's fifth in the NFL at $25 million a year. Contract goes through 2026. And Nick Bosa makes $34 million a year. So if you're going to call Miles the best defender in the NFL over and over and over again, you might have to put your money where your mouth is.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. People are sending us YouTube videos of the Fonzie dance, so I have to recuse myself from the social media here. Well, you know, I understand what you're saying there, Mary Kay. I don't care if Mark Davis gets his feathers ruffled. I mean, he looks like a Cabbage Patch doll. But I do worry about Myles Garrett and his feathers being ruffled, because Lima brought up highest paid players. It's like Nick Bosa's making $34 million. I'm not trying to look in his pockets, but doggone, Myles Garrett's better than Nick Bosa. Like, he's due a raise.
Right, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
That he needs to get a bump. He will get a bump, and that's going to be part of what they ask for when they sit down and they negotiate some things. And it sounds to me like Andrew and Miles have already had some of these conversations, and that both of them feel pretty good about how it's going to go going forward. When you have probably arguably the best defender in the NFL, you're not going to mess with that if you want him around. You're not going to make him unhappy or have him head into the season being disgruntled. You saw how that went with Amari Cooper last year, which that was just a disaster from the beginning and should never have gone the way that it did. So you have to head this off at the pass, and you have to make sure that it's a win-win and get this thing situated pretty soon.
What are Tommy Rees's responsibilities going to be during the week and then maybe on game day?
We don't know game day yet, because we have to find out if Kevin Stefanski is going to call the plays or if he's going to let Tommy Rees do it. I would probably resume play calling duties if I were Kevin. I don't know what he's thinking yet. We haven't had a chance to talk to him about any of this yet, but I think it's an opportunity for him to possibly go ahead and do that. But Tommy can do it too. Tommy did it at Notre Dame. He did it at Alabama. He's very well versed in all of the college concepts that their new quarterback will probably be running. And so I think that can go either way. But he'll be involved in running the offensive meetings. And I think that there's a chance, and I put this in my story yesterday, that I think there's a pretty good chance that they will hire a quarterback's coach. At least they're considering hiring a quarterback's coach as well, which I think would be a good thing. That would give Tommy an opportunity to sign the, you know, the bigger picture of the offense and let the quarterback's coach deal with the minutia and the nuances of coaching probably three new quarterbacks.
Mary Kay, how often a day when you're out in public, whether you're grocery shopping, whether you're getting a new plant, how often a day are you asked about what the Browns are going to do at number two?
I do get asked about that a lot. I do get asked about that a lot. And when I send out my call for Hey MKs, that is the number one question that I get. What are they going to do at number two? And I think, obviously, you have to look at a quarterback there first and foremost, and you have to figure out if there's one there that you feel comfortable with and that can win for you. And it's not supposed to be a good quarterback class, but I can't wait to dig in and find out what the NFL types really think about it, because you don't know what a quarterback class is all about until you get the coaches and the personnel guys of the NFL involved. And that starts to happen in Mobile in a couple of weeks. That's when we'll really know. And you'll see, you will see a shifting of the order of quarterbacks, probably or possibly, in terms of who are the top ones. And we'll start to hear things about what the Browns like and what they don't. And some of it will be subterfuge and gamesmanship, and maybe some of it will be true. But we are silly season, so be careful and be judicious.
Who's the one who possesses the power in who they pick in the NFL draft?
Well, Andrew Berry, and here's another thing. I've seen, you know, people say and heard people say, Kevin's got to, you know, pick his guy. Well, that's all well and good, but Kevin hasn't really even put on his scouting hat yet. So while the scouts and the personnel guys have been very involved in this, scouting some of these guys for a couple of years now, Kevin hasn't really had the time to do that. So he's just jumping into it now. I think Tommy Reese will be a very big help in scouting some of these college quarterbacks, because he's been in the college ranks for 7 years before he came to Cleveland last year. But I think you have to be careful about letting a head coach pick your quarterback if scouting hasn't been his thing. Now, if it is his thing, that's another story. I mean, if it's Bill Belichick, then you can probably let him pick the quarterback. But I think you have to make sure that you're getting enough eyes on the situation. And I would also, I would also bring in some outside consultants who have nailed it on the quarterback over the years. There are guys like that that are viewed as experts and quarterback whisperers and really, really know how to hone in on the best quarterbacks and pick them and develop them. I would get some different opinions on this.
All right, Mary Kay, we close on this. We'd love to get your thoughts on fandom in today's NFL. An Eagles fan was talking tough to a couple way up high, looked like what would be the equivalent of the 500 section. He was really letting this female have it, saying some naughty, naughty words to her. Got caught on camera, went viral. It started out where the company had to issue a statement that he worked at, as the people found exactly where he worked and what his position was. They found his LinkedIn. They found all his social media. They found his address. They found his phone number. They found his family. They did all that, and he eventually lost his job. Should you lose your job if you act a fool at a football game?
Well, it depends. I think you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. I think you have to treat each one of these things individually and figure out exactly what the harm was that was done and how far-reaching it was. And I don't think that you can make a blanket statement that everyone who does something like this should ultimately lose their job. But in some cases, perhaps, that's not a bridge too far.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'd like to get into that at some point here, maybe coming up next. Mary Kay, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next Thursday. You certainly have given us a hell of a lot to talk about. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, so she says Barry. Does that change? Because Jason was on with us an hour and a half ago. Jason said what? Jason said Kevin Stefanski would lead the charge.
It is interesting because these two have basically been lockstep. They've been tethered to each other.
Thought partners.
I had wondered, does Andrew Berry have even the ability, if he wanted the power, to get rid of Stefanski, to have him removed? And everybody tells me, no, that's not the setup there. So these two, they are linked. They are forever linked, it looks like. So either they both keep their jobs after next year, or they are both out of jobs next year.
We have an update. We have a lot going on with the Browns and Mary Kay, but the Browns ain't going anywhere. So I want an update on this Eagles fan. This guy has gone famous. We talked about him a couple of days ago. He was calling a woman a very strong word that I'm not going to repeat over and over and over again. The internet found out who he was, found out who he worked for. They found his address, and they found the name of his kids and his wife, which I do not condone. And the company he works for had to release a statement. He's been let go from his job. He has now since made a statement. Is this to the New York Post?
I'm seeing the New York Post right now.
This man's name is Ryan Caldwell. All right. Public figure now. So go ahead. What's his statement here?
He said, and not only that, by the way, he lost his job. He also
during the Eagles-Packers playoff
banned.
Game.
Yeah, he's been banned from their stadium. So he said, quote, while attending an NFL game last Sunday to support my beloved Philadelphia Eagles, an incident occurred that I deeply regret. Caldwell said, what began as banter with two Packers fans sitting near me escalated to something more serious. And I said things that were unacceptable. In the heat of the moment, I chose unforgiving words to address one of the fans. We'll leave her name out of it for now. I want to sincerely apologize to her for those words and to my wife, family, friends, my former employer, and colleagues. Packer fans, Eagle fans, the Eagles, City of Philadelphia, and all who were offended. That said, you knew it was coming.
That said, here we go.
That said, there are two sides to every story. The video clip circulating online does not reflect the full context of what transpired, and my actions were not without provocation. I will live with this experience, and I'm certainly paying a personal price. For those who don't know me, the incident does not reflect my values or the respect I have for others. It is not indicative of the person that I am.
All right. So I've got several tweets about, you know, the guy, and I heard that the guy that was the Packer fan is a content creator and had the camera and was going to post a video of them having fun or whatever. And this man says it was not without provocation. Now, two wrongs don't make a right. I just have to use him as a cautionary tale for everybody else. Like, I do have a certain level of empathy. Like, you shouldn't ever say that to a woman, and you shouldn't ever say that publicly to a woman, and you shouldn't make a drunken ass of yourself in public either.
We don't know if alcohol contributed, by the way. Just
seemed like you'd have, okay, you shouldn't make a sober or drunken ass of yourself in public either, at a football game or wherever.
Seems like he would have been better off being drunk, though, like falling down drunk, because then people would have said, well, he was drunk.
Hopefully he would have just fallen over and wouldn't have said anything of what he said. But now I'm like, man, if you try to go for another job, like they're gonna know who you are. They're going to do a background check, and this is all going to come out. So it's like, you better get a lawyer and get the rest of this video. You got to defend yourself as best you can. If this is true, what he's saying, and he was provoked, that two wrongs are not going to make a right in this case.
That's so much like.
But if you're going to drag my name through the mud, you better find a way to drag his name through the mud, too, if this is with provocation.
I've seen the internet is having a huge debate on what is too far for punishment. Like, everybody agreed, all right, this guy was a scumbag in that moment. Whether he's a scumbag all the time, we don't know. I'm sure to his family, maybe he's a good guy. I don't know. Maybe to his neighbors, he's a great guy. Maybe to his colleagues, he's a great guy. In that moment, he was captured at probably his lowest. And when that happens, what price should you pay for that? Should it mean that you're never allowed to go to a sporting event again? Okay, well, it looks like Philadelphia has determined, you're not coming into our stadium ever again. Okay, what's the next part of this? Should you be fined? Should you serve jail time? You know, we've seen fistfights break out and guys haven't gone viral like this. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like he'd have been better off getting in a fistfight and then everybody walking away.
It's weird right now because there are people sitting around this guy. I mean, I've been getting texts this morning from people in Philadelphia. And there's fans like, hey, they're witnesses. This guy, like, he was goaded into this.
And of course, just like an NBA game or an NFL game, who do they get? They get not the person who provoked. They get the second person. They get the reactor in these cases. And he's a grown man.
That's exactly the point.
He should absolutely know how to react.
That's exactly the point.
But we've all been in football games. We've all been around other people, sometimes wearing the same jerseys. But we've all been around people that tensions can flare up, especially during a football game. We see videos every week of this. So moral of the story is, obviously, just watch the game. Banter between rivals, okay. That's fine. It happens. You expect it, especially if you're a Packers fan and you're going into enemy territory. I'm sure you expect it. Mm-hmm. It's why a lot of people I know will not go to Pittsburgh Steelers games because they know that their mouth will get them in trouble or their reactions will get them in trouble.
The Steelers game I went to at the former Heinz Field, I wore nothing. I knew there was no point. They weren't even playing the Browns.
Yeah.
They're playing Tampa Bay, and they lost. I wasn't even, no.
And all I could think about...
Didn't wear any Steelers stuff, that's for damn sure.
All I could think about
couldn't
was this guy that night when he went home going, fly, Eagles, fly. We got another one. He comes home to the family.
Oh, my
Sunday
God.
Dinner. Let's go. Let's get it going. And you know he was having a blast. And then somebody texted him and said, dude, look at this. Don't worry. You're going to be okay. Oh, they don't know man. Who you are. But look at this. They got you on video. And he's like, oh, boy. Well, I'm not going to tell my wife about that one. And then an hour later, up, they have your name. Up, they have your address. Up, there's a statement from your employer. You know, his wife's going, well, you're too valuable to them. They're not going to let you go. You've put in too much work. Todd's not going to get rid of you over this.
I'm sorry,
man.
It's
become a national story.
Because,
oh, my God.
If you want to stop this type of stuff, someone's going to have to be made an example of. You got people fighting in parking lots, and I never see any of this stuff. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this where they just out people's names and everything. Like, you can't.
But now that's the world we're living in now. Everything's on camera. Everybody's going to be able to find you exactly who you are. It's going to be posted. You're not getting away with anything. You might think you've won this war of words or you've had fun at somebody's expense. You're not getting away with it.
Because if you were considering him for another job, you'd have to, well, is he qualified? Yeah, he's qualified. Well, he's not allowed to go to a Philly game again, so we don't got to worry about that. So, but to some level, it's like, I want to see the rest of the tape. I want to see the rest of the tape. I think that people, I can't call him a good person. I have no idea if he was a good person before this. For all I know, he's total scum before this, for all I know. But there's a lot of cases where, yeah, people who are regular, everyday people, even good people, they have an ugly day, they have an ugly moment, and then it defines them for the rest of their life. If there's a rest of this video, I want to see the rest of this video because it could be seen as predatory.
Okay.
I mean, you're ruining a person. You could sue that person.
What do we do?
You were provoked.
Let me ask you, what do we do with information if we did see the video, and let's say this guy was 100% telling the truth, and it turns out down the road that we find out that really horrific things were said the other way around.
You still shouldn't say that to a woman.
Does he get his job back? No, that's not happening, right?
Well, would you want your job back? You would probably just file suit for wrongful termination, would you not?
That they jumped the gun?
Yeah.
He still did use those words, though.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking in his case, like, well, are you going to get anything back out of this? Or can you recover something?
Is there a settlement
that could be involved here?
Kenny, I remember, I think we all have said, whether it's in a relationship with our partners, whether it is like on the football field with Myles Garrett, there are words that can trigger you and set you off to where people will say, well, this is what was said. Now, we have no idea in this case. He's just saying there are two sides of the story. We did not wait for the second side. I mean, national media did not wait, and certainly his employer did not wait for the second side.
The closest I ever came to a fist fight with Anthony years ago, he said something I did was hack, and I almost fought him out in the hallway. Actually, out in the stairwell. I wanted to fight you.
You wanted the high ground.
Yeah. That would have been an ugly day if that was caught on tape. That would have been a very ugly day for me.
A story and a half fall.
That was a long time ago. Very long time ago. George
it's
Yang.
It's a mezzanine. It's only half.
Yeah, zigzag down the steps.